So today we are very fortunate that we are having Har Kois Priti Vilasini Mataji to enlighten on Valmiki Ramayana. Today is the third part of Yuddha Kanda. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your valuable nectarian pastimes of Lord Ram. Thank you so much for doing so much efforts for us. So now you can take over the call, Mataji. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much. Kindly pronounce to everyone in the call. Thank you so much for your association.
Sorry, Mataji. Sorry to disturb. Mataji, your voice is not coming properly. Like, it is very low.
Okay. Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah. So it's better now?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay. So my obeisances to everyone. Thank you all so much for joining. So we'll continue to read from Valmiki Ramayana, and we are in the Yuddha Kanda. I'll start off with the prayers. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nivitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Radhanatha Swaminiti Namani Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pachayati Veshadharini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Offer our prayers to Valmiki, Hanuman and Lord Sri Ramachandra. Kujantam Rama Rameti Maduram Madurakshavam Aruhya Kavita Shakam Vande Valmiki Kokilam Valmiki Munisimhasya Kavita Vanacharinah Shrinvan Rama Kathanatam Konayate Paramgatim Veda Vedye Parekumse Jate Dashratatmaji Veda Pracheta Sadase Sakshat Ramayanatmana Anjana Nandanam Veeram Jalaki Shokanashanam Kapisha Makshahantaram Vande Lankabhayankaram Manojavam Maruta Tulya Vegam Jitendriyam Bhuttimatam Varishtam Vatatmajam Vanarayuzamukyam Shri Rama Dutam Shirasa Namami Anjaneya Madhipatanadanam Kanchanadra Kamaniya Vigraham Parijata Tarunula Vasimam Bhavayami Bhavamana Nandanam Yatra Yatra Pragunata Kirtanam Tatra Tatra Krita Masta Kanchalim Bhashpavari Paripurna Lochanam Marutim Namata Rakshasantakam Shri Raghavam Dasharathatmajam Apraneyam Sitapatim Raghukularmay Ratnadeepam Ajana Bahum Aravinda Dayaladaksham Ramam Vichachara Vinashakam Namami Hare Krishna. So in the previous session, we stopped at a point where the entire Vanara army had reached the shores of the Indian Ocean along with Lord Shri Ram and Lakshmana. So at that time, we saw that a spy by the name Shuka had come to spy on the army of monkeys, and the monkeys caught him and they harassed him, and later he requested Ram to ask the monkeys not to kill him, and the monkeys were restrained by Lord Ram. But however, this particular spy by the name Shuka was not really released, in the sense he was just tied up and he was held captive by the monkeys. The monkeys kept him with them because they had a plan to release him later. Okay, so that's something I didn't mention last class. But anyhow, they stopped harassing him, but they held him with them. So meanwhile, Ramachandra, we saw that he decided to perform austerities so that he could please the ocean. And for that, he spread kusha grass on the seashore. And he fasted for 3 days and nights waiting for the Lord of the Ocean to appear. So that's where exactly we stopped in the previous class. Now, about Ram's austerities, a little bit as mentioned. It says that Lord Ramachandra has very beautiful arms. The arms of Lord Ramachandra was actually hardened by the strokes of the bowstring that he used to carry with him. So the left arm of Lord Ram was resembling a huge mace. It was so big, it was resembling a huge mace. And the beautiful right arm that was equally powerful had given thousands of cows in charity. So this arm was used in giving so much charity. So such beautiful arms of Lord Sri Ramachandra was actually used as a pillow when Ram was lying on the garbha grass or on the kusha grass. So he was performing very severe austerities. He spent 3 days and 3 nights, and those beautiful arms of Lord Ram, which was decorated previously by Kausalya and other queens of the palace, these beautiful arms were used as a pillow when Ram was sleeping on the floor. And Ram spent 3 days and 3 nights so that the Lord of the Ocean would appear in front of him and would allow him to pass through the ocean. So, 3 days and 3 nights passed away really fast. Ramchandra was lying on the garbha grass and with a very, very firm mind, restraining his speech and following the tradition and scriptural injunctions, he waited for Samudra Raj to appear. And Ram, with a very firm mind, he said, this crossing of the ocean should occur to me. I have to do it as early as possible. So like this, he honored Samudra Raj, being very patient and tolerant. However, the Samudra Raj was very careless and he didn't appear in his personal form in front of Lord Ram. So after 3 nights, Ram became very angry with the ocean. He was extremely angry because in spite of performing so much austerity, Samudra Raj was not appearing in front of him. So he got really, really angry and his eyes, they turned red. And he got extremely wild and he told Lakshmana, Lakshmana, look at the arrogance of this ocean. He's not appearing personally in front of me. You know what, Lakshmana? Patience, tolerance, kind spoken words, straightforwardness, all these qualities of people who are noble is no longer respected. You know whom this world honors? This world honors a man who simply boasts about himself, who's very corrupt and shameless and runs about here and there in all directions advertising about himself. Such an arrogant person is actually respected in this world. So this ocean doesn't understand what I'm trying to ask him, so let me speak in a language that the ocean understands. I will choke this ocean with all my arrows and I will dry up this entire ocean now. So like this, when Ram was extremely angry, Lakshmana was very, very worried. Oh, what is Lord Ram going to do now? Then Ram shouted. He said, this ocean is thinking that I'm an incapable man just because I'm being nice. And it's a great mistake on my part to show kindness to such an individual, such a, ocean who's not even having the basic courtesy to come in front of me. So then he said, Lakshmana, go and bring my bow and my arrows, and this minute I'm going to dry up this ocean so that all our monkeys, the entire army, can cross this ocean just by their bare feet. So like this, Ram, who was extremely angry, asked Lakshmana to bring the bow and arrow, and he strung the arrow on his bow, and one arrow became multiple arrows, and Lord Ram started releasing the arrows right into the ocean. Now, immediately while the arrows were approaching the ocean god, he got really, really scared. The ocean became very agitated. It started becoming hot and there were huge waves with smoke coming out. And Lakshmana was getting very, very worried. So Lakshmana told Ram, Ram, please restrain yourself. And he took hold of the bow. He said, no more, no more. Please stop, please stop. Now, Lakshmana is the one who easily gets angry. But here, Lakshmana is very calm and he's trying to restrain Ram, and Ram was extremely upset. So he said, dear Ram, even without destruction of this ocean, our mission can actually be accomplished. So men like you should not get angry. So surely there will be some alternative. Please, please, please stop. Don't keep shooting arrows. And all the Brahmana sages and the celestial sages who were there, they all cried out saying, please, Ram, please withdraw your arrows. Please don't do this. You cannot dry up the ocean. So like this, when Lord Ramchandra was extremely angry, at that time, Sagara, the ocean god Samudra Raj, he himself, in his personal form, he rose from the middle of the ocean. and he had a very, very beautiful, gorgeous form, holding a lot of jewels in offering to Lord Ram. And he humbly approached Lord Ram with joined palms and told him, "Oh dear Ram, I'm so sorry. I really didn't know how to help you. That's why I didn't appear in front of you. See, Rama, earth, wind, ether, water, light, all these, they have a particular nature, and our nature is very fixed. I really didn't have a clue what to do. According to me, I'm an ocean, and it is impossible for an ocean to be swum across. You can cross lakes by swimming, but ocean, just imagine, I'm so huge. How are you supposed to swim across me? It becomes very unnatural if I become shallow just to allow you to cross across me. See, Prince, Lord Ram, even if I desire, even if I want, even if you scare me, I cannot really solidify my waters. But however, since you have requested, I will make it possible to see that somehow or the other you're able to cross over me. I will arrange a particular place in my ocean which is suitable for the entire army to cross over me and bear all of you on me, the weight of all the army on me. And as far as the army crosses me, I'll make sure that the crocodiles and the other dangerous sea animals will not be aggressive to them. So these things I will somehow make sure. Somehow I find a solution. Like the Samudra Raj, he begins to speak to Lord Ram. Now at this time, the arrows are gushing towards the ocean, and the arrows are still around. So then Ram says to the ocean, "Okay, listen. Okay, now you are saying that you will help me, but this arrow that I've released should not go into vain. You know, I've just released these arrows; they cannot go waste. Now I cannot, of course, dry up your ocean because you say that you will help me. But tell me, since this arrow cannot go waste, in which region I should direct these arrows?" So hearing Ram's words and seeing these powerful arrows, the ocean god said, "Actually, Lord Ram, towards my northern side, there is a holy place. It is known as Brahmatulya. Now, in this place, there are many robbers with very sinful habits, and Abiras, the tribe called as Abiras, is their chief. And these people, they are drinking my waters there. I'm just not able to bear the touch of those wicked people. So Ram, just release these excellent arrows over there and destroy that place." And Ram agreed to what Samudra Raj said, and he redirected those arrows to this particular place. So the place where Ram's arrows actually touched the ground and descended is actually famous today as the desert of Maru on this earth. And this is the part of the famous Thar desert that is there in Marwar area, Maru area, Marwar in Rajasthan. So basically, this was the area that was targeted, and the area became a desert. This is according to the Ramayana. The Thar desert seen today was actually because of the arrows of Lord Ram. Now the arrow pierced there, and a huge sound emitted from the ground there in the Maru desert. And all the waters from the lower regions, subterranean regions, they started gushing out from that hole that was made by the arrows. And this particular water that came out was very similar to the sea water. It was very salty in nature, and it is also identified today with the Luni River in Rajasthan. Okay? And the Thar Desert, we see, has many saltwater lakes today. Like some of the saltwater lakes in the Thar Desert are Sambar, Kuchman, Didwan, and others in Rajasthan. So in Rajasthan, you see little saltwater lakes, and these saltwater lakes are as a result of the arrows that were pierced by Lord Sri Ramchandra. So anyhow, that area became a desert, okay, because Ram's arrows were released there. And this Thar desert is very, very famous in all the three worlds. So Thar desert was also given a boon by Ram. This is also mentioned in the Ramayana, that this desert of Maru or the Thar desert will become a favorable place for cattle rearing, and it will not have much disease, And there will be a lot of butter and milk, and there will be a lot of herbs because of cattle rearing in this area. So, and like this, Lord Ramchandra, though this most of this part was created, was made into a desert, the surrounding areas were suitable for some growth of vegetation because Ram had blessed that area. Then Samudra Raj, again, as this arrows were redirected, Samudra Raj continued his conversation with Ram, and he gave an idea. He said, initially, I didn't know what to do because I couldn't change my nature. But then I have an idea, Ram. Among all the monkeys that are stationed here, there is one particular monkey by the name Nala. And he's very, very glorious because he's the son of Vishwakarma. And Nala has this boon from Vishwakarma that he will be equal to his father. So ask this monkey to build a bridge across me in a particular place so that I can hold that bridge. And Ram, he's very, very similar to his father, so he'll be very capable of building this bridge. So like this, the ocean god gave an idea and he disappeared from there. Now, when Nala heard this, he stood up and he told Ram, actually, whatever Samudra Raj said is very true. I can construct a bridge. I can do that. I'm capable. I can construct a bridge across this ocean. Actually, I remember that my mother told me that she was given a boon by Vishwakarma that she will have a son who's equal to him, who has all his building capabilities, engineering capabilities. So I'm so happy that the ocean god spoke about it, and I know I'm capable, and I will help you construct a bridge across this ocean. So then Nala said, we'll start the work right away. Now itself, we'll acquire all the materials, and as early as possible, we'll construct the bridge. So then Lord Ram, he directed all the monkeys. There were millions of monkeys. Actually, the number of monkeys is given in the Ramayana, but it goes, you really cannot count. It just goes on and on. So we can say, for our understanding, there were about a million monkeys. So Lord Ram, he directed all the monkeys to go and acquire all the materials required for the bridge. So what is the material that the monkeys got is obviously whatever was available in the surrounding areas. So the monkeys ran up and they went in all directions. And they started collecting rocks and trees and everything that is required to construct this bridge. Now, this is how the bridge was constructed. Initially, the monkeys, because see, Samudra Raj told them that I will give you I can find a suitable place in the ocean where a bridge can be constructed. So basically, a naturally forming ridge in the ocean served as the foundation of the bridge. So a ridge is like an elevated oceanic bed. So you have the ocean, and the ocean goes deeper and deeper as you move. But in certain places, if there is a ridge underneath the ocean, that means an elevated portion underneath the ocean, it may not be so deep. So such a place was initially identified. Okay, a ridge was identified. And all the army chief monkeys, they went and they started breaking all the rocks and trees. They started breaking mountain peaks. So even to this day, they say that huge mountains are not seen in that area because everything was broken and taken by the monkeys. So the monkeys went and they started breaking these rocks. And they were also uprooting trees. Some trees they just took away just the bark. Some trees they just uprooted entire tree like that. Different varieties of trees. So they collected different trees, and the specific trees are mentioned in Ramayana. They uprooted Sala, Ashwakarna, Dhava, Bamboo, Kutaja, Arjuna, Pamira, Thinisa, Bilva, Saptarana, Karnika, Mango, Ashoka, Pomegranate, Coconut, Vibhittaka, Karira, Bakula, and Neem trees. So these are the different trees that the monkeys first collected. So first level, these monkeys, they filled the ocean with all these different types of trees. So this was the first layer of the bridge. They had started developing the bridge over the ridge of the ocean. So first, they layered all these trees. Then the monkeys, they started uprooting huge rocks, the mountains. Okay, so they removed mountain peaks and huge rocks. And specifically, it is mentioned that these rocks were transported by mechanical means, yantra, this is the words that Ramayan says. So even in those days, they had little machines to transport stuff. So that's what it says.
Hare Krishna, I cannot hear. Mataji, can Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
This is Kamudi Kidasi.
Hare Krishna,
is... Mataji. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Please explain this. Hey.
Yeah, let me text Priti Vilasni, Mataji.
There was so much sound, noise, and then it stopped.
Yeah.
So much disturbance. I don't know what. Hare Krishna.
So she is texting that she is unable to join. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, she is saying that she is unable to join, so let's wait for a couple of more minutes.
Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, okay, I thought I got cut off or something. I couldn't connect.
Yeah, actually, same with all of us, but it's Priti Vilasini Mataji is unable to join, so we are still waiting for her. I texted her. She's saying that
okay.
She's able to join again. But let's wait for a couple of more minutes.
Yeah, I couldn't join on my home phone either. I had to disconnect and connect on my cell phone. So I don't know what's going on.
Okay, if you have that...
I got kicked off.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. I'm back. Okay. So we were talking about the bridge, how the bridge was constructed. So initially they collected different kinds of trees. They uprooted these trees and they placed it as the first layer under the ocean. And then the monkeys, they went and they collected different kinds of huge rocks, like humongous rocks that were like size of huge elephants. And they literally chipped off mountain peaks and they transported them. And this was the second layer. So when the second layer of rocks was added, the water rose up because of the sudden throwing of mountains into the sea. And the waters were splashing in all directions. And Nala, on his part, who is the engineer of this project, was actually guiding the monkeys on how to construct. So he was directing the monkeys where to throw the rocks and where to throw the logs of wood. So the second layer of the bridge was huge rocks. And then finally, the third and final layer consisted of small stones, small rocks, and other lighter materials like sand that was used as a filler. And then they uprooted some creepers that helped them to tie up the rocks to keep them in position. So like this, in three layers, the bridge was constructed and it was kept in position one layer after the other. Now, the bridge that was built was, of course, built at that time with the cooperation of all the monkeys and the bears and everyone in the army. Now, not only was the bridge constructed properly in an organized fashion as directed by Nala, but also the bridge had to be in a long straight line. It couldn't be haphazard, right? So you need a bridge where you can connect two pieces of land. So it had to be done in a proper, there should be some direction and there should be some, it should not just go haywire. So they had to keep it in a straight line. So some monkeys were holding poles and ropes for measuring the bridge. So others, what they did is they drew up strings and ropes, and for the entire bridge, which was 100 yojanas long, according to Ramayana, they were holding these ropes so that the rocks could be kept in a straight line. So basically, they were having a bridge. They had an idea of how the bridge had to be constructed. So two monkeys or multiple monkeys on either side were holding ropes so that the monkeys who were putting the rocks and the trees knew exactly where to place them. So much planning was there in this particular bridge construction. And Rama and Nala, both of them, were looking over this construction. So like this, on the first day, 14 yojanas of the bridge were constructed by the monkeys. And then they were so happy and so delighted because they could construct 14 yojanas in a single day. So in a similar manner, on the second day, 20 yojanas of the bridge was constructed very, very fast by these monkeys. And on the third day, 21 yojanas of the bridge were constructed. And on the fourth day, another 22 yojanas were constructed. And in the same manner, on the fifth day, the monkeys were working very fast, constructed 23 yojanas of the bridge up to the other side of the shore in Lanka. So a total of 100 yojanas. If you add up all the yojanas that were covered on each day, you will get 100 yojanas. So Nala, he built the bridge across the sea just like how his father Vishwakarma would have built it. So this beautiful bridge that was constructed by Nala across the ocean shone so beautifully, just like stars in the sky. So all the celestials and the Gandharvas and the demigods, Apsaras, all of them, they saw Nala's bridge and they were so amazed. And this difficult bridge, which was very difficult to construct, it had a width of 10 yojanas and a length of 100 yojanas. That's how they had planned to construct the bridge so that the entire army could walk over this bridge. Now, even to this day, this is a little bit digressing away from what the Ramayana has. So even to this day, according to the reports that are given by certain researchers who do geological survey in India, this is not in scripture, but even now, they say that the bridge is man-made, according to their research, and it still maintains a ratio of 10:1, because we saw 10 yojanas width and 100 yojanas length, right?
So the reports say that the bridge maintains the same ratio of 10:1, but of course it's not 100 yojanas now, it's much lesser. It is actually 35 kilometers in length and 3.5 kilometers in width. So this theory about the formation of the bridge proposed is that the bridge is still visible. This is what they say, the bridge is visible. The trees that is there underneath, because of time, they have become reef. And reef is actually a sedimented part of a fossil. So these trees have solidified and they have become fossil. And the large rocks have become carbonaceous material and sand deposits are still seen over this bridge. So even now, you can see the top level as a disconnected chain of shoals and sediments between Dhanushkoti and Thalaimannar in Sri Lanka. So that's where you see the bridge. It's disconnected because later Ram destroyed the bridge. So it is a disconnected set of sand deposits. You can still see it. If you go on Google Maps, actually, if you want to do it, you can do it. You just go on Google Maps and go and see the Adams Bridge or the Ram Setu. You will see it's a disconnected set of chains from Dhanushkoti, which is near Ramanathapuram in Rameshwaram area. From there, you can see that it extends almost up till Thalaimannar in Ceylon, in Sri Lanka. So this is how the bridge was constructed. Now, the entire bridge construction process was a very planned effort, just like how a civil engineer would probably construct a bridge today. However, besides all this, technicalities of how the bridge was constructed in different layers or how it was held up and all that, the whole thing was, of course, possible only because of Lord Ram. Because Lord Ram, he is Sarva Shakti Sampanna. Srila Prabhupada mentions in one of his lectures that the stones were actually held up and the whole bridge was made possible for the monkeys to walk on the stone bridge only because of the energy of Lord Ram, because he is Sarva Shakti Sampanna. Ram made these stones float by his energy so that the army could walk over it. So even you must have heard, according to Ramcharitmanas, that Hanuman gave the idea that if you put the name of Lord Ram on the rocks, they will float. If you write Ram, the rocks will float. And the stones remain united as a bridge because of Lord Ram's mercy. So in today's world, the bridges and flyovers, they take years and years to complete. Maybe 10 years, 15 years, one flyover project in India. But Ram Setu, it was built in 5 days over the ocean, not just over land. It was built over ocean with reckless monkeys. Imagine monkeys, they don't even have a steady mind. So they but such monkeys over an ocean in 5 days, Ram Setu was accomplished. How was it accomplished? Because of Lord Ram. So without the mercy of Lord Ram or without his will, nothing can happen. So there's another little story in this where Radhanath Swami Maharaj was saying that Ram was very surprised to see the power of his name making the stones float. So he thought, okay, let me check my own power. And he took a small piece of stone and he threw it in the water to see if the stone was floating. But to his surprise, the stone actually sank. And Hanuman, who was standing near him, was laughing and he told, "You see, Lord, if you are the if you are with a person, if you are with the stone will never sink. But if you let go of that person or you let go of a stone, immediately they begin to sink. So you and your name are non-different. So the stones were floating up because of your mercy. Your name was there on the stone, so it was floating. But once you withdraw your mercy, once you say, okay, I leave you, you go and be independent, then that stone sinks." So these are little sub-stories and little lessons you can get from the building of the bridge. And according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 9.199 and Padma Purana references and many other references, the original bridge that was built by Lord Ram was later destroyed in 3 different places by Ram himself with his bow because Vibhishan requested him to destroy the bridge. Because the bridge will be used by many people unnecessarily. So they didn't like that idea and they broke the bridge later. And even to this day, you will see everything is disconnected if you go and see on Google Maps. Now, during the construction of the bridge, another story is narrated. Of course, this is also interesting. I was very surprised to note that even this was not there in Valmiki Ramayana. It is the story of our favorite squirrel. So I was so surprised to learn that it was not there in Valmiki Ramayana. But however, this story is very widely accepted by all our Vaishnava Acharyas. Even Srila Prabhupada refers to the story. So the story of the squirrel who helped to build the bridge is a very, very interesting narrative, and there's a lot to learn from the squirrel. So there was this little squirrel who wanted to help while the monkeys were lifting huge boulders of rocks and trying to build the bridge. So the squirrel, what he would do is, he also wanted to be engaged in Lord Ram's service. So the squirrel would go to the ocean, he would wet his body in the ocean, and then he rolled on the sand, he ran onto the bridge, and he shook his body so that all the sand would fall off. And sometimes he would kick small stones and put it on the bridge. So like this, the sand that the squirrel was contributing to the bridge was like cement holding the rocks together. So the squirrel was doing an amazing job. And that was his contribution to the bridge. And Hanuman was carrying huge mountain peaks, and the squirrel was just putting small little stones and little specks of sand. So Ram, seeing this, he told Hanuman, and Hanuman was also very happy hearing this from Lord Ram. He said, see, you and the squirrel, both of you are doing the same service to me, but each of you are doing it based on your capacity, how much ever you can do. To me, both are equal. The grain of sand or a huge mountain peak, for me, there is no difference. I only see the devotion. I only see the intention. The squirrel, he's doing the best he can do, and that is the beauty of bhakti. So in the material world, there are so many categories of skill, wealth, material abilities, and this creates a lot of inequality. But in bhakti, it is not about what we know or what we can do. It is dependent on the sincerity, on our sincerity to please Krishna. So some even say that Hanuman, he was even encouraging the fish under the rocks to push up the rocks. So everybody, literally everybody, every single living creature there was engaged in Lord Ram's service. So Lord Ram, he doesn't need the squirrel, or he doesn't need the fish, or he doesn't even need Hanuman to build the bridge, or he doesn't even need Samudra Raj to come and help him build the bridge. He can do it by his own energy. But Lord Sri Ram, he engaged everybody, and he was appreciative of everyone's effort in building this beautiful bridge. So once the bridge was constructed, 100 yojanas long bridge, by the effort of all these monkeys in different layers and beautiful engineering skills, the monkeys, they shouted out in joy, and they got all set and all ready to cross this bridge. Now, this bridge was huge, it was broad, it was very well constructed, it was well positioned, and it was held together very, very firmly. It looked so beautiful in the middle of the ocean, and Ramayana describes that this bridge was looking like a woman's parted hair, simanta, you say, right? Like when you take a partition on your hair, it's called as a simanta. So the ocean was looking like the hair of a beautiful woman, and the bridge was like a beautiful straight line separating the ocean on two sides. Like how the simanta separates the hair on two sides. So this was the beauty of the ocean when it was seen after it was constructed. And Vibhishan, on his part, he was holding his mace on his hand, and he stood up on the ocean side seashore along with all his ministers so that he could protect all the Vanaras from the invasion of the enemies. And after everything was over and everything was successful, Sugriva, he called out to Ram, and he told Ram, see Ram, now the bridge is ready and this ocean is really vast. So I suggest that you ascend onto the shoulder of Hanuman and let Lakshmana get onto the shoulders of Angada so that these monkeys can carry both of you and we can quickly cross this ocean. So Ram, holding his bow along with Lakshmana together with Sugriva, went in the front of the army. And all the monkeys started happily jumping up, and they began to cross the bridge. Some were going in the center, some were going in the back, some were going on the side, some were jumping into the water, others were marching forward. Some monkeys entered into the sky and they flew for a while for a distance, and they were all so excited, and the sounds made by the monkeys actually surpassed the terrific sound of the ocean, because there were so many monkeys enthusiastically jumping and walking and flying over the ocean. Now, finally, that army of monkeys, they marched on this bridge constructed by Nala, and they reached on the other side of the shore, and they landed in Lanka. So Sugriva, as soon as all the army chiefs, everybody landed on the other side of the shore, as a good manager, he made all arrangements for all the monkeys to have many fruits, tubers, and water, because that's the most important thing. Such a huge army of monkeys, they've done such a good job. So they definitely need a treat. And Sugriva, he made all arrangements. He collected all the fruits and everything, all the eatables, as soon as they reached the other side of the shore, and he gave them a big feast. And all the siddhas and demigods and everyone who was watching this huge army of Vanaras crossing, they all blessed Ram and all the Vanaras that their mission will be successful. Now Ram, he observed the island of Lanka around him, and he tells Lakshmana about the various omens that he's seen, that he sees that all these omens are actually a signal of a very destructive war. And Ram also appreciates the beauty of Lanka, saying that the city was very well constructed, and he could see the main city of Lanka on a hilltop that was constructed by Vishwakarma. And he saw many skyscrapers, even in those days, seven-storied buildings specifically. Probably that was the fashion in Lanka, to have seven-storied building. He could see many seven-storied buildings in Lanka. And Ram looked around and he saw the beautiful forests, flowers and fruits and the beauty of Lanka. And in his mind, all that he was thinking is, oh, my dear Sita is here, and she must be so much in separation from me. And I'm just longing to go and see her now. So Ram was waiting. And then Ram told Lakshmana, okay, now we have reached the other side of the shore. Now we must spring into action. So let us divide this army into battalions according to the procedure that is given in scriptures. So Ram gave these commands. He told the entire army of the monkeys, he told all the monkey chiefs, that they should make the Garuda formation, Garuda Vyuha. Okay, the monkeys didn't have big weapons, or they didn't have chariots and arrows, except for Ram and Lakshman. The others didn't have bow and arrows also. They didn't have big weapons, they didn't have chariots, they didn't have elephants, and they didn't have horses. They didn't have all that. But still, they made the Garuda formation. Garuda formation, like you must have heard about different Vyuhas that are created in warfare. So they took their positions in the shape of a Garuda. Now, in the Garuda Vyuha, the important positions of the Garuda formation is the beak of the Garuda, the beak of the eagle, the tail, the left wing, the right wing, the chest, and the belly. So these are the six important positions in a Garuda Vyuha. So he put very important warriors in these six positions. So Ram gave these instructions. He asked Angada, along with Nila, to take the center chest of the formation. He asked Rishabha, along with other monkeys, to take the right wing of the army. He asked Gandhamandana and other monkey troops to stand in the left side of the army, which is the left wing of Garuda. Then he asked Jambavan, Sushena, and Vegadharshi, and other bears, to stand in the belly portion of the army. And he told Sugriva, who is the king of the monkeys, to protect and guard the backside of the army, to take the tail of Garuda, tail position of Garuda. And where did Ram stand? Ram took the front position. He took the beak position. So he said, I will stand in the front and I will face the attack first. Just like how Krishna, he was the Sarathi. He was in front of Arjuna protecting him. Just like how Vishnu is always in the front protecting the demigods. So like that, Ramchandra said, I will stand in the front and I will protect the entire army. So with this desire to crush all the demons in the battle, all the monkeys, they were gathering their weapons. So they went and they took on their favorite weapons, rocks and trees. So that's their favorite weapon. So they went and they started gathering huge mountain peaks and big rocks and trees, and they were all holding these weapons, and they were marching towards the city of Lanka. Now, there is another character we have forgotten about, who is Shuka. So we saw that Shuka was arrested by the monkeys. Though they stopped harassing him, they still tied him with ropes and they were holding him captive. And they crossed the ocean with Shuka. So Shuka was also a part of crossing the ocean. Now this Shuka was still with them. So a question may be asked, why should Shuka be retained all this while? The reason is because Ram had a plan. He thought if he released Shuka right away, Ravan won't get so worried. I mean, see, if you build a bridge and go on the other side of the ocean, reach the city of Lanka, and then say, if the messenger goes and says that the army is here, then Ravana will get really alerted. So that was the idea, to really scare Ravana. So they kept Shuka with them, and at this point, after they had reached the other side of the ocean, they let Shuka go, and they told him, you go to your Ravana. So this Shuka, he went running to Ravana, and Ravana saw him entering the palace in this condition, and Ravana started laughing. So Ravana started laughing, and he was telling, hey Shuka, what happened to you? Why are your wings like this? You appear like as if you have been plucked apart in all directions. So what happened? What happened? Did the monkeys, fickle-minded monkeys, trouble you? Did they pluck you apart? What happened? You look so funny. So this is what Ravana said. And Shuka, he was so irritated and agitated, and he was in fear, shivering. And he told Ravana, oh king, you know what? Actually, when I went there to the other side of the ocean in India, I went and conveyed your message in a very smooth fashion, exactly as per your instructions. And just on seeing me appear there, these monkeys, they jumped on me and they seized me and they started plucking my feathers. And they started beating me, and they were piercing my eyes, and they were beating me with all their energy and fists. And after that, they held me captive, and they successfully constructed a bridge. Ram Setu is ready. They have constructed a bridge, and they have crossed across this ocean. And here is Ram. He has already reached Lanka, holding his bow with all this monkey army. Thousands of divisions of bears and monkeys, like huge mountain clouds, are covering the entire earth. And soon they will come to our main city. So just get ready right away. Immediately do one of these two. Either give away Sita now and save your life, or face this Ram in a war. So Shuka gave these words. And hearing the words of Shuka, Ravana got so angry. His eyes became blood red in anger. He was like, as if he's going to consume Shuka with his glance. He was so angry. He said, even if I were to be frightened by all the three worlds, even if I were to face in the battle all the demigods and Gandharvas or even the demons, I will not give back Sita. I am not going to give her back at any cost. I am waiting. I am waiting to attack this Ram in a battle. I will face him in the battle, but there is no question of giving back Sita. So in a voice that was choked with anger, he screamed at Shuka and Sharana, who was standing there, and he told them, both of you are useless. I sent you as spies, but you are totally useless. You're always praising your enemy. I'm so angry that I would have killed you, but I just remember your past services and I let you go. I just spare your life. Just go away from here. So Shuka and Sharana, they felt very, very ashamed, and they paid their obeisances to Ravana, and they told Ravana, we hope that you are victorious, and they went away. Now then Ravana, he thought these original spies are no good, and he called for new spies. And these spies, they came hurriedly in front of him, and then he gave them instructions. He told them, you go and investigate about Ram. It seems he's built a bridge and he's come here. So go and find out everything about him. Go and check out who his close friends are, and who's very favorable to him, who's very close to him. Find out about his hours of sleeping and waking up, and what he intends to do next. So after finding out all these information, come to me and tell me everything in a very skillful fashion. So immediately the spies, whose leader was Shardula, all of them, they made their circumambulation around Ravana. and they went in a disguised manner, just like monkeys. See, these demons, they could take different forms as they wished. So they took the form of monkeys and they went in between the monkey army to find out details, to spy on the monkeys. So they went and they saw Ram, Lakshman, they spotted Sugriva, all this, and they were trying to spy nicely. They were trying to overhear what the monkeys were talking and all that. And suddenly, they got caught by Vibhishana. Now, Vibhishana is also a demon, so he knows the works of demons. So somehow they got identified by Vibhishana accidentally, and these demons were caught by Vibhishana, and Vibhishana understood that they were not monkeys, but rather they were spies sent by Ravana, and they were seized. And the minute they were identified as demons, all the monkeys got angry, and again the monkeys started attacking Shardula, and he was almost going to be killed by all the monkeys. But as usual, the usual stunt, he began to beg Ram, and Ram released the spy. Ram released Shardula. And also the other demons who came with Shardula were also released. So then they were asked to go back to Ravana, and Ram was very cool about this. He said, yeah, you have spied enough. Now you have seen everything. Go and tell Ravana everything. So then these spies, they hurriedly went, and they told Ravana that Ram's army was actually camping near the Suvela mountain in Lanka. And Ravana inquired, oh, what happened? Even you look very, you look very tired, and your whole face has withered. So you look miserable. So have you also fallen a victim to those monkeys? Did the monkeys trouble you? So Shardula said, yeah, the same story. I was identified within a very short time, and I hardly did any examination about the army, but I was caught very soon. I was actually caught by Vibhishana, your brother, and his associates. And they started investigating me in so many ways, and I was beaten on all sides by the monkeys. The monkeys used their fists and their teeth and their palms, and they were slapping me. And I was made to parade around the army because I was a spy. They were, making fun of me. And then finally, I asked Ram for protection, and I was fortunately saved by Ram. Then Shardula and his gang, they also said the same thing. They said, hey, Ravana, I have an advice for you. Before he reaches this area, do one thing. Either you quickly give away Sita or immediately go and face him in a battle. Again, Ravana got so angry. He said, no way. I'm not giving Sita. He said, why are you all talking the same thing again and again? I'm not giving Sita at any cost. I will go and face him in a battle. And then again, Ravana, he calmed down and he asked, okay, so you went as a spy. You said you could spy a bit. So tell me whatever little you could spy about them. Tell me about the monkeys. So can you tell me who they are? So at this point, actually, there is a lot of details about each of the monkey and their prowess in the Valmiki Ramayana. I'm not going to get into the details of each of the monkeys because that's a huge chapter by itself. But the spy, he goes on to talk about each of the monkeys and their previous accomplishments and how powerful they are and all that. But there is also something interesting Ravana asks at this point. Ravana tells, you tell me about whose son and grandson they are. This is a question Ravana asks. It's an important question because all of them were sons of demigods. All the monkeys were sons of demigods. So the Shardula, he identifies the father of all these monkeys. Some of the monkeys are mentioned. I'll just say that. He says Sugriva is the son of the sun god, and he's very difficult to conquer in battle. The son of Brahma, raised by Gadgada, is called as Jambavan. Another one is the son of Brihaspati, and that is Kesari. And Kesari's son is Hanuman. And Hanuman has already destroyed Lanka once. And then there is Susheshna. He is the son of Yamraj. He's the son of Yama, the lord of death. And there's a monkey called as Dhadimukha, and he's the son of the moon god. Sumukha, Dhurmukha, and Vegadarshi are themselves personifications of death created by Brahma during the time of creation. There is Nila, the army general himself, who is the son of Agni. And the son of Vayu is, of course, Hanuman. And you already know Hanuman very well. And Angada is Indra's grandson. And he is very strong and he is invincible. And Mainda and Dvivida are the twins born from Ashwini Kumaras. There is Gaja, there is Gavaksha, Gavaya, Sharaba, and Gandamandana. These are the five sons of Yamaraj again. And all of them resemble Yama at the time of dissolution of the world. So the 10 crores of monkey are all with them, with this, with these five monkeys. And of course, there is Ram, who is Dashrath's son, who is well-built like a lion, by whom Karadushan were killed. And there is no one equal to Ram in this entire world. So, and also with him is the virtuous Lakshmana, and Lakshmana is so valiant. He's like an elephant among all the elephants. And there is Shweta, Jyotirmukha. These are also sons of Sun God. And there's a monkey called Hemakuta, another son of Varuna. Neela is the son of Vishwakarma, who actually built that bridge. And all the monkeys crossed it swiftly. And then there is Dhurdhara, who is the son of Dashtavasus. So like this, there are so many monkeys who are the sons of all the demigods. And of course, Vibhishan is there. You know him. He's your brother. And you know, even I have another information. This Ram has promised to give Lanka after conquering you in the battle to Vibhishan. So this Vibhishan is very devoted to your to Ram. And your good brother is also on the side of Ram. So I have told you about the entire army of monkeys who have come. They are all waiting in Mount Suvela. So each of these monkeys' strength I have described in detail, and the monkeys score to more than a million. Actually, it's much more than a million, but there was a very huge army of monkeys. So then he says, now it's up to you. You decide what has to be done. If you're ready, go face them in a battle. Do whatever you want if you're not ready to give Sita. So actually, Ravana was very agitated hearing all this description. And then Ravana, he consulted with Vidyujihva, who was a magician. He was a master of all tricks. And he called him because he was very worried. He was very concerned. Now, what to do? Such a huge army has come. We have to create more fear. We have to do something very, very terrible. So he was thinking like that. And he called Vidyujihva and he told him, Vidyujihva was an expert in showing magic. So he called him and he told him with your spells, you create an illusiony head of Ram. Okay, produce the head of Ram, resembling Ram in all respects, and also create the bow and arrow exactly that is of Lord Ram and give it to me. So hearing these words of Ravana, this demon called as Vidyujihva, he said, okay, and immediately he chanted some spells, and there he had the seaward head of Ram. It was an illusion. He created a seaward head of Ram, and also he created the bow and arrows of Lord Ram, and he showed it to Ravana. Ravana was very happy, and he thought, okay, I have a good idea. Now give me that seaward head and that bow and arrow and walk behind me. He said, I mean, you bring it, but come behind me. And then he entered. Ravana, he had an idea. He went to the Ashoka garden where Sita was there. And he went there and he saw Sita seated on the ground. And her head was bent down in the Ashoka grove. As usual, she was plunged in grief. She was absorbed in thought of her husband and she was wailing. And he went to that garden and he looked at Sita and he said, hey Sita, your husband Ram, for whom you are rejecting me, is already murdered. He is the one who murdered my brother Karadushan. Now he is being killed. You have no choice. You have no choice anymore. Now you have to become my wife. You are so foolish. Give up your attachment to him. What will you do with him now? He's already dead and gone. Come and become my queen. Become the chief queen among all my queens. Now, do you want to know what happened to Ram? Ram is dead, he said. Then he tells, Ram, along with all the monkeys, they very boldly arrived in Lanka to kill me. But when the sun was about to set, Ram and his army was encamped there and they were comfortably sleeping in the middle of the night because they were very fatigued. And I sent all my demons led by Prahasta. All of them, they went with their arrows and spears and darts and clubs and maces, and they went and they destroyed the entire army. They started repeatedly striking and killing all the monkeys. And Prahasta, with a steady hand, he just severed the head of Ram, who was sleeping there, and Ram is dead. And it was fortunate that Vibhishan was held captive, but All of them are killed. Lakshmana and the other monkeys were running away in all directions. They were also captured and killed. Sugriva, his neck was broken. Hanuman's jaw was removed from his body. And we killed all the demons killed all the monkeys. Jambavan was also trying to get up and we smashed his knees and we killed him in the battle. And they took swords and they cut off every limb of all the monkeys and all the monkeys are dead. Some monkeys were jumping into the sea, some were flying in the sky, they were climbing trees. But all of them were again captured and they were brutally killed by my army. Then Ravana called out, Vidyujihva, come here. Bring that Raghava's head. And Vidyujihva came and he presented the illusory head of Ram. And holding that head along with Ram's bow, the illusory bow and arrow that was looking exactly like Ram's bow and arrow, Vidyujihva gave it to Ravana. Ravana said, see, this is the head of your Ram. And he told Vidyujihva, keep that head in front of her. And then Vidyujihva, he went and he kept the head in front of Sita. And the bow and arrow, he dropped everything in front of Sita. Now, hearing this, Sita, she was so shocked. She was so shocked. She saw this beautiful face of Ram. And this illusory face looked exactly like Ram. The eyes looked exactly like her husband's eyes. The facial complexion, the hair, the forehead, everything looked exactly like Ram. She started crying and she was wailing and she was trembling and she just fainted like a plantain tree that was cut off. And then in a moment she consoled herself and she regained consciousness and she went close to that head. And she started crying and crying and she cried, oh my dear Ram, you have been killed? Am I here to see you dead? Have I become a widow? You are so pious and I am the one. I am responsible for your death. I am the unfortunate one. You have gone before me. You died in your attempt of protecting me. My dear Ram, please wake up. Mother Kausalya, she'll be so broken that her tender son is dead. She'll be like a cow without her calf. Hey Ram, I cannot believe. I cannot believe what I'm seeing. It was mentioned to me by great astrologers that you have a very long lifespan and I'll never become a widow. My dear Ram, how was it possible? Were we lying? You know all political ethics. You are always aware of yourself. You know all warfare details. How did you die? Oh Prince, wake up. Why are you not looking at me? Why don't you reply to me? I've been married to you, I've been your wife for so many years since I was a small little girl. I came to your house. Take me with you. I cannot live without you even for a second. Then she looked at Ravana and she said, Ravana, kill me. Kill me now. I want to be united with my husband. I cannot live even for a second without him. So like this, when Sita was lamenting, suddenly in the Ashoka Grove, a demon came. And he was the royal guard of Ravana. And he came and he told him, O King Ravana, Prahastha has come. He wants an urgent meeting with you. He has come, the tallest minister. He wants to see you immediately. Please come, please come. So hearing this urgent call of the royal guards, Ravana left that place in a hurry. And he left Ashoka Van and he went to meet this minister. So as soon as Ravana left Ashoka Van, this illusory head, bow and arrow, they vanished suddenly. Now, Ravana, he went and he started consulting with his ministers because Prahastha was in a very, he was very tense about forming the army and go, because he had heard that Ram is already approaching. So he was very, very concerned and he was having discussions with Ravana. And Ravana gave instructions to Prahastha that beat a drum so that immediately all my army can be summoned, call everyone and make announcements. And he started gathering a huge army and he announced to them that there is going to be a war. So everyone was collected. They started beating drums and they were making announcements in the city of Lanka for all the soldiers to gather. Now, there back in the Ashoka Van, Sita was totally bewildered. She didn't understand anything. She was crying and the next second everything vanishes and she didn't know what to do. And she was so confused and at that time, a demoness called Sharma, the wife of Vibhishan. She was very, very affectionate, and Ravana had left her with, along with other demonesses, to take guard of Sita, I mean, to watch over Sita. So, but Sarama was very, very affectionate of Sita, and she considered Sita to be a very close friend of hers. So Sarama, who was very soft-spoken, she went and she started consoling Sita. She told Sita, "Sita, please calm down, be comfortable, don't get disturbed, because you are my very close friend, and I don't like Ravana much. I will tell you what I overheard. So I was standing in the sky, and I know exactly, I was hiding in the sky behind the clouds, and I was seeing what Ravana was doing. Actually, all this is an illusion. You don't get scared. Don't have any fear. And I have a lot of affection towards you and your well-wisher. I'll tell you everything. So whatever happened is an illusion. And Ravana, you know why he ran away in a hurry like this? Because he's going to have a meeting with his minister. There's going to be a war. Ram is still alive. Believe me, it's not possible to attack Ram. Ram is a person who has a lot of self-awareness. How can someone kill him when he's sleeping? Killing him is impossible. It is not possible to kill him in this manner. It is not even possible to kill the monkeys who are known to be very alert, who perform great fighting activities with trees and rocks. And remember, the monkeys are fully protected by Ram. This Ravana cannot do anything like that, going and killing them in the sleep and all. That is not possible. Whatever was done was a trick by Ravana. He's a very perverted person. He's got perverted thinking and he does such perverted actions. That is his nature. Listen to me, Sita. Whatever you're feeling, your sorrow, everything is going to vanish soon. Ram is coming with his army of monkeys. I got this information that they have crossed the ocean and they've reached the other side of the shore. And there is a huge encampment of monkeys there. And not only that, not only did I hear all this, I went in person and I saw the entire army. Everyone is coming. And Ram is very well protected by all the monkeys. He's not at all killed. And these demons who suddenly appeared here, they came and they took away Ravana, because Ravana is very busy consulting with his ministers. That's why he went in a hurry, because now this Ravana has to form an army and go and face Ram in a battle. So like this, when Sarama was telling Sita everything, the terrific sound of the beating of the drums and the army troops gathering was heard. So she said, "Sita, don't you hear these sounds, the sound of kettle drum? And then can you hear the noises of elephants and horses and soldiers who are marching? All the highways are filled with all the soldiers and everyone is ready for the battle. So actually, sorrow is going to come to an end. Your husband is here. He's going to come and take you. So don't be so sad. Ram will kill Ravana in a battle and he'll win you back. Sita, having killed Ravana in a battle, Ram will come back and he will enjoy his company with you again." So like this, she consoles Sita, and we will stop here because I'm already 5 minutes ahead. I mean, 5 minutes more than the usual time. So anyway, we'll stop here and then we'll see what happened after this in the next class. So thank you so much for your patient listening and so sorry. I think my internet connection was very weak, so I had to recall again and again. So if you have any questions, comments, additions, corrections, please let me know. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji. This is Kamudi Kidasi. I have one comment. This class is ending too soon. Longer. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you again for a wonderful narration. I have two questions, comments and a question. One comment, I was just thinking about how much psychological, I guess you'd say, just mental torture that Sita Devi was going through. I mean, just thinking about First of all, she separated from her husband, forcibly separated, being harassed by all these demons and demonesses and everything. And then, of course, he keeps coming and telling her, you know, that I'm going to eat you if you don't surrender to me. I mean, it's just, I'm just thinking of as being a, you know, and of course she's a, you know, she's a princess, she's a queen, so she's obviously valorous and stuff. Mm-hmm. But even though it's just, you know, and then finally the last final blow, here she is waiting, hoping that her husband is, knowing she's sure that her husband is coming, and then Ravana comes with this whole, you know, magician and the fake head and all that kind of stuff. I mean, just what torture she would go through, and it just amazes me. I mean, how strong she had to have been to be able to withstand all that, you know.
So true.
Yeah. So much to learn from Sita Devi. Yeah. And just holding on to that belief, that faith that he's going to come and rescue her. And then the other thing is, I have a comment. Now, I had this question before, and when you mentioned monkeys, I remembered. So this Vivida Guru, is he the same one that's in Krishna book?
Yeah, he's the same. So there's a story that he made offenses to Lakshmana, and hence he fell down, and then later he had to be killed. So that's why Krishna Balaram, they go and they attack him.
So there's a big story. Okay, so if when you have a chance, if we could somehow,
yes,
I don't know,
yes,
I just would like
I
to
think,
get...
Yes, and further down in the Yuddhakanda, I think that the scene will come.
Comes.
So that's when we'll probably go to the Krishna book and we'll discuss the whole...
Oh, okay, perfect. And I was thinking, I mean, it was reminding me of all the different incidences. For example, Jambavan, who wanted to fight with... He wanted to have that fight with Krishna. I mean, with Ram, that whole mood of fighting, and so he came back in Krishna book, and then, you know, I mean, just the whole. And then the sages who wanted to be with Ram,
Maddie.
And then, you know, I was just all these different connections that were coming to my mind. I mean, it's interesting to note now all these people. You know, I mean, particularly Jambavan, I mean, you would think fighting with the Lord would be kind of like a negative thing. You know what I mean? That it would be. But it's not. It's just interesting how Jambavan wanted to fight with the Lord, and so that's why he came back and he fought with the Lord. But it was a sweet pastime of Lord Krishna and, you know, Jambavati, etc. Whereas you have Divida Gorilla, or Divida, who, because of offenses, he comes back. Fights with the Lord, quote unquote, but this is not such a benign, you know. Of course, you know, in the absolute terms, is, you know, as he's being killed by a Lord, it is still pure. But still, it's just interesting these different correlations that come to mind as you're listening. Even in the presence of the Lord, one misstep and your whole future can change.
Oh,
interesting.
Yes. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. Thank you for bringing that.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasi Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much for such a wonderful class. Wonderful of Ramayana. You really transport us to Treta Yuga. And the way you were telling it, really I could feel it, that even I'm throwing stones in that ocean.
How sweet. Very nice, Kitira Mataji.
Really. Blessed to have you.
So fortunate to have you on the call, Mataji. Mercy of Guru and Gauranga. Thank you so much for coming on the call. We feel, I don't know, I think all of us, we feel very happy when you come and speak. When you come on the call. Yeah.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. This is Gaurangi. Thank you, of course, for the I was just wondering about when Ravana was telling Sita what has happened to her husband and the armies, and he quoted him as saying, you know, my demons have done all of these atrocities, you know. But I was just—I mean, it's just a technicality, I think. But I'm wondering if he would have actually referred to his own people as demons, or was that just your way of relating the story?
He would have referred him. See, they are proud to be demons, Mataji. Sometimes they refer themselves as demons also throughout scripture.
because they don't consider it to be a derogatory term. They are just known as the demon clan, so they're very proud of it. Of course, it could have been my way of saying it also, but I don't, in scripture, what I'm trying to say is they call themselves as the great demons. They are very happy to be demons. So for us, when we relate to demons, we think of some negative set of people are called demons. So that's how we relate to demons. But according to them, they are the clan of Danavas. They are the clan of Daitya. So they are so happy about it. So that's how they refer to each other. They say, we are Nishacharas. We are the night walkers, you know. Like the demons walk in the night or they're active in the night. So they're proud. They call themselves like that. I am the king of demons. Even Prahlad also, he says, oh, king of demons, to Hiranyakashipu. He says, yeah, you're the king of demons. Yeah.
I just wonder, when they use that term, I mean, they do not see that as a negative term?
No, see, because in English language, when we classify Dhanavas, Daityas, all of them as demons. So basically, according to us, demon is bad and Deva is good. That's how we are seeing the classification. But when they are calling themselves, they address themselves as Danavas or they address themselves as Daityas because that's their clan. They are very proud to be a part of that clan.
Okay, okay, I get it. You know, so that's how they address themselves, but they don't see it as, they don't see being part of that. Huh?
Yeah, they don't think that they are in any way low or something. They're proud to be a Dhanava.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I see. I see. Okay. Thank you.
Can I make a comment, quick comment?
Yeah, yeah.
To Gaurangi Mataji's question. I was going to say, it's like when you talk about neo-Nazis, when we say neo-Nazi, we're thinking, oh my God, but they're very proud to be neo-Nazis or white supremacists.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like
yeah
that.
I got it. Yeah, I got it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Namaskarna, Shri Guru Mataji. Very, very wonderful class, Mataji. You are so amazing.
You, Shama Gauri Mataji, thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much for being there with us. You're a big strength. Thank you, Mataji. All glories to Guru Maharaj and all the Guru Vargas for giving such beautiful seminars. Totally their mercy. Thank you, Mataji.
And your glory is that you are surrendered to them. Hare Krishna.
Oh, no, Mataji. Long way to go. Thank you for being there.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Okay. So if no one else has any questions or comments, we can end the call. Thank you all so much. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu devacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnav vrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Valmiki Ramayana ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.
Glories to Prithivilasini Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.